You might think it's pretty easy to tell the difference between a science lab and an art gallery, but if you happen to be in Paris this season, you could find yourself easily confused by a high-tech window display just behind the Louvre. It's for a place called Le Laboratoire. It's a spot where scientists and artists undertake collaborative experiments, and it's the brainchild of a Harvard professor who's written a book about why the wall between art and science needs to be torn down. Frank Browning reports.
It all started when David Edwards, who holds a chair in biomedical technology at Harvard, began talking to his colleagues, not only in other science departments, but also in art, architecture, and music.
We sort of had this sense of finding your lost brother and sister, and so we all came from such different environments, but we had very similar stories.
That common story was about hiding. The scientists hid their passions for art, the artists their curiosity for science.
At the end of the day, I kind of asked myself the question, why was it that all of us ended up having an affiliation with an institution, in my case Harvard, but none of us were really kind of welcomed in what made us who we were?
Besides teaching medical technology, Edwards writes fiction and has long worked in the theater. He began to probe the question of what lies behind innovative intelligence. With a little extra money he'd picked up in the biotech industry, he launched Le Laboratoire in Paris, where he lives part-time. Because he once worked in Robert Langer's MIT lab doing stem cell research, Edwards hooked up one of France's best-known visual artists, Fabrice Ibert, with Langer. The idea was to give visitors a notion of what it would be like to actually be a stem cell in the process of becoming a neuron or a nerve cell. In short, to give people a tactile experience of cell division.
Fabrice's idea was to create objects that people could fall through and have this experience of cell division by falling like a sand particle through an hourglass.
As you walk through the space, three levels of columns, colored floors, paintings, and sculptures, two images recur repeatedly. The hourglass and an apple tree with falling fruit.
The work begins with this painting right here, which shows an apple tree where apples fall to the ground and become cherries and ultimately cherry trees.
That's it. One life element transforming itself into another. It's a visual metaphor for the primitive stem cell emerging as a neuron. More than that, Edwards and Ibert aim to draw the visitor to Le Laboratoire into the processes of making art and science.
One time I remember I did a show in a gallery with 14 paintings, and I send the painting not finished. And they sell the painting. And I finish the painting after. Here, in the laboratory, it's something like that. You can show the way to work.
Ibert, who is trained as a mathematician, distinguishes art from science this way. Science always has a clear end or objective or answer in mind, while art is a way of taking people in between moments, in between questions, in between answers, so they can intuit the movement of imagination. Diana Dabby is one of David Edwards' favorite art science case examples. Dabby was an accomplished concert pianist in her late 20s when she stumbled across some music criticism written by engineers. She realized she had no idea what engineers do. So, being curious, she went back to school and got a PhD in electrical engineering from MIT. Today, Dabby is a composer who uses what physicists call chaos or complexity theory to create variations in her compositions. Chaos theory first developed from mathematical models meteorologists were using to predict weather, which the most modest event in one part of the world can affect weather thousands of miles away. A key term in those models, Dabby notes, is the strange attractor.
A strange attractor is something that basically acts as a magnet in a chaotic system. You might actually think of it as a whirlpool in a river, and that the currents of that river would follow different trajectories as they get pulled towards the whirlpool. In a sense, the technique that I developed is perhaps acting in the following way. You could think of the whirlpool as the original piece and the different trajectories of currents as the variations.
For example, Dabi uses one of the most famous pieces in Western music on which to impose this technique in order to create musical variations.
It's the Prelude No. 1 by Bach from the Well-Tempered Clavier Book 1, and here are the first four measures. Okay, now, using the technique that I devised, you're able now to make a variation of the entire Bach Prelude. And what we'll hear now is the first four measures of that technique-generated variation.
Any composer could create variations on an established theme. What Dabi does is apply her technique to create a variation on the entire work.
In jazz, this is done all the time. In other words, you can listen to I'll Remember April, and you can hear Charlie Parker play it, and you can hear Earl Garner play it. And in a sense, the variations that each of these artists produces is a variation of the entire piece.
That process of innovative intelligence linking science and art is what David Edwards wants to put on display at Le Laboratoire. Edwards compares Le Laboratoire to an off-Broadway show.
We take risks. We try out ideas with pretty small audiences.
But risk presupposes the possibility and indeed the probability from time to time of failure.
Exactly. If you think about a lab, a normal lab, there is mostly process going on. We're mostly cooking things. We're mostly making things. And every once in a while, when somebody has a result and says, oh my gosh, I got a result. And very rarely is that result what we predicted it would be, and very often it's not what we hoped it would be, but we are always learning something.
And Edward says people who come to Le Laboratoire relish that kind of learning experience. And what's more, once the current installations come down, they can take a piece of the stem cell show home. It's all for sale. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning in Paris.